Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, and I'd like for us to prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation that you will find in your bulletin. Don't forget to pass the registration pad that's at the end of each pew. Fill it out, send it down, and be sure to check who's sitting next to you in the pew. I want to urge you to read your bulletin carefully. There are several announcements in here that are really significant. I would like to make a special note about the Labor Day service. You notice that we're going to be doing things differently. Several of the folks in my class who are retired said, well, I wonder what I'm going to wear, since you're supposed to wear what you wear to work. I suggest that we wear what we volunteer. If you are a volunteer and you are a pink lady, or you're on the ramp building committee, wear your carpenter's apron. I understand we're not quite fancy enough with the ramp building to have tool belts or anything like that, but wear what you would wear for your volunteer activity. If you are not gainfully employed right now because you've retired, do make a note and be sure to bring a covered dish. I would also like to urge you to remember to fill out the TIPS survey, your talents, interests, and preferences, so that we can begin with the nominating committee to find your special niche at Main Street. I also want to remind you in the newsletter that the United Methodist Women's Circles will resume meeting after their summer break, and a lot of the circles will meet this next week, so check and make sure of the time and the place for your circle to meet. And if you don't have a circle, just go to one. We'd love to have you in any one that meets your time schedule. One other piece of information. The Cornerstone class, which is our class for young adults and college students, has moved. It's now going to be meeting in meeting room number 1, which is just down this hall in the building that's connected to the sanctuary. So do come and hear Charlie Baroneau and Glenn Perrin, who will be co-teaching this class. Do consider making that move if you are a young adult or if you are a college student. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. The Lord has dominion from sea to sea, from here to the ends of the earth. As the Lord rides forth to defend the truth and to destroy all falsehood. Therefore, with joy and gladness, let us come into the presence of our God.
Be seated, and I invite you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletins. Eternal Creator, you have been good beyond all deserving. All we have and all we are is the gift of your love. You have surrounded us with your light and your love, with beauty and with friends. You have placed hope in our hearts. As we unite in worship, make us alert to every desire you have for us. Where our hearts are hardened, soften them. Where our minds are closed to your truth, open them. Where our feet are slow to follow you, spur us on. Do all of this and more as you know our need in this time of worship together. Amen. And now I do invite you to turn to the insert for the Holy Sacrament of Baptism of William Reed Nichols. And I will invite the family forward. You come all the way up here. You come all the way up here. All the way up here. And as they are coming forward, I just wanted to remind you, the congregation, I think I've said this before as I told them this morning, that in the first and second century, congregations took so seriously the vows that they made to the family and to young children when entire families joined and all were baptized, that if there was an occasion where the mother and father decided, we are going to leave this congregation, a little while later the congregation would come knocking on the door and say, we still made promises to that baby. That's our baby. to raise into the Christian faith and to expose that child to the teachings of the gospel. And it's very serious. I want you to understand how serious, historically and in reality, your promise is to young William Reed and to Patty and to Philip and to the whole family and to all the families, to give them opportunities for Christian education and to raise them to the point that they decide for themselves that the gospel is true and the foundation of their lives. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present William Reed Nichols for baptism. And now, Philip, Patty, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture William Reed in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include William Reed now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround William Reed with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. And let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I think I'm having a problem here. We'll go to the handheld, and this is the hand that will hold it. There we go. You can do that for me, not for you. For me. Yes. Now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness, that throughout his life, dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, congregation, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ, the newest. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome him as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I do commend William Reed to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. And now you may see more closely as they present William Reed, the family and the young baby you have made promises to.
Good morning. The epistle reading this morning is from the first chapter of the letter of James, verses 17 through 27. You can find this on page 278 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. The passage gives guidance for a righteous life. Be the first fruits of God's generosity toward others, doing the word, not just listening to it, making sure that the weak and vulnerable are protected, and keeping one's tongue and life away from excess and impurity. Listen now for God's word to us. Every generous act of giving, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is poor, pure, and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the word, by the world, excuse me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To be consoled.
As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to ask you to continue to be in prayer for Rebecca Bartless Marino as she awaits the birth of their child. For Dave Sawilich, who has been attending our 9 o'clock service and has been in the hospital but now out of the hospital. And to be in prayer for those extended family members, sons, daughters, and grandchildren who are in the Middle East in harm's way. We have several from the Drake family, from the Kalfi family, and from the Deloach family as well. Frank Rice will be going soon to Afghanistan. We pray for Skippy, for Frank and their family as well, for all those in harm's way. Along with our private prayer concern, let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we praise you for life, for your love and your unfailing grace. And we do come here to sing your praises, to honor your word proclaimed, and to support one another in fellowship and in times of need. But Lord, we confess that we wish we could do our entire faith right here on this day and this place. We would like to put it on and wear it here and pick it up next Sunday. The rest of the week is so complicated by your presence, by your word. Our work week seems smoother when we leave out the gospel, though we know we should not. And our relationships are much more black and white when we don't consider forgiveness and grace and withholding judgment as you have taught us. Lord, faith is easier here and harder out there in the world. If you want us to live it, if you want us to live out our faith in the world and at home, you will have to help us. And so, Lord, we pray, strengthen us. Guide us and convince us that your ways, your wisdom, and your love is superior to what the world demands and teaches. Convince us today, convict us and empower us to believe and to live our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, beyond these walls. Lord, we do pray for those who are struggling with difficult decisions. Those who are immobilized by fear and anxiety, for those in the middle of situations where we cannot see your will, but we do pray your will and your guidance and your direction. Father, we pray to you as one who works all things together for the good among his beloved. And as your beloved, we do pray for those who grieve, for those who are broken, for those who are addicted, for those who have financial concerns, for those who dwell in darkness and see no light, for those who grieve. And Lord, we lift up our prayers also for the leaders of the nations of the world. We pray that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit and for the things that make for peace. Hear now the silent prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Before I get started, I want to thank Mr. Gene Utz for this. It's the nail trick that you taught me. And my message today is about practicing. I've been practicing a trick, and in this trick, you see these six nails? I can balance all six of these nails on top of the head of one nail. No tape, no wires, no glue. I can do it in just a minute here. I can do it. I've been practicing. You believe me? On my finger? No, I haven't been practicing that. Are you impressed that I can do that?
Yes.
Would you like to see me do it?
Yes.
Now, I'm not actually going to do it. I just want you to know I've been practicing. And I want to tell you, I want to ask you, what are some things that you have practiced? I mean, do some of you take dance lessons? You do? Do you like practicing dancing? You like Do you like to practice the dance? Do you practice? Anybody play a musical instrument? You take lessons? Do you? And you practice and practice and practice and practice. In soccer? You practice soccer? In tennis? Okay. And some of you might be in Cub Scouts. You're in Cub Scouts. You have to practice certain things, right? Okay. The things that you practice, like soccer or musical instruments or dance or whatever, if you don't ever actually do it, that's you kind of wonder, why am I practicing? In church, we talk about receiving the gift from God of love and forgiveness and grace and compassion. That means caring about other people. We talk about it and we talk about it and we talk about it and we talk about it. If we don't ever practice it and do it, if we just talk about it here, and maybe even practice it here, but if we don't ever do it out there in the world, like at school and at home and in other situations, if we don't ever do it out in the world, what good is that? Not much good, is it? Like this trick here, you would be very impressed if I did it, but if I never do it, it's not so impressive, is it? No. All right. So that's my children's sermon today. Don't just talk about what Jesus taught. Put it into doing in your life every day, not just in Sunday school, but out there in the world. I'll tell you another brief little story before I do this trick. I'm building, because I'm not sure if I can. But my mother taught all five of us, there were five in my family. She taught us what she called granny manners. My great-grandmother, very, very formal, crystal, way too many forks and all sort of things when we'd go to dinner. And she taught us granny manners. And those were the manners that we put on and used just at granny's house, but not really at home. Your Christian faith ought not to be something you use just on Sundays, but not really at home. It ought to be all the time. And sometimes that's a struggle. And we say, God, help me. Because we need help to follow Jesus. But we're supposed to be practicing our faith out there all the time. Now let's see. Let's see if we can remember how to do this. Okay? Some of y'all might come and watch. I'm going to leave this up here the rest of the day, the rest of the worship service, if I can do it. All right. Are y'all ready? Come here. Hold this for me. Come here. Latham, hold this for me. Latham, hold this for me. Hold me the mic. Hold the mic there. Hold the mic. I'm going to need two hands. Well, you might want to hold it so I can...
Well,
Okay? Let's see if we can do this. All right. If I can't do it, I'm going to get Gene to come up here and do it. Okay? Uh-oh. This table's not wide enough to do what I need to do here. I may have to go to the altar. All right. All right. We're live on the radio, aren't we? That's right. Okay. That I didn't count on the... There we go. I think we can get this done. I think we can. Let's see. No? You see, it's just like Christian faith. If you don't practice it, I'm gonna have to go to the altar. I think I am. If I were a very clever preacher, I could probably come up with a good illustration for going to the altar too. I'm not sure. Okay. Now we do it up here. I didn't ever practice it with my robe on either. Yeah. There we go. Now, finally. Okay. Maybe this will work.
Right one.
You have that one. I'm close. I'm real close. Can you hand me that? There we go. Gene, come up here. Wait a minute.
All right.
Thank you. Just like Christian faith, it's sometimes harder than it looks. Thank you, Jane. Let's have a short prayer. Y'all just stay. Don't blow on that. Y'all stay where you are. I'm losing control. Let's have a prayer quick. Okay? Lord, help us understand that your calling is to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. That is a high calling. We do need your help, and we pray for it through your Holy Spirit. Help to live out the faith of love, forgiveness, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. But in this season of flu, we are going to pass the peace more carefully and with less human contact. You can gaze deeply into one another's eyes and wave, but let us pass the peace.
Please be seated. I'm going to be preaching from James, and I'm going to dispense with the reading of the gospel this morning. I would not be preaching from it anyway. So if you remember James, and I'll be referring back to it, we'll be talking about doing the faith. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now just yesterday, I had another birthday, and one of the joys of being old is telling stories about things that young folks cannot possibly understand and watching them kind of go, what? What is he? What was he talking about? Remember, those of you who are of sufficient age, the old commercial about the beautician named Madge who used to surprise the women in her salon by extolling the virtues of Palmolive dish detergent for keeping hands beautiful? Do you remember that? The punchline was, you're soaking in it. Remember? You're soaking in it. Well, what we do here, middle-class Protestant worship, has been called by some who write about such things as sit and soak worship. The preacher talks, the choir sings, the children perform, and you guys glued to the pews, just let the words and the music and the message from the pulpit just simply wash down over you. Sit and soak. Hoping that some way, somehow you'll feel better for it or do better for it later on. James, as I read it, warns that you can hear and hear or read and read the word in individualistic ways so as to inoculate yourself from ever catching a real case of Christian faith. The kind that makes a difference in your life. I wrote about this in the newsletter, but I'm going to use it again. Not everyone reads the newsletter. Back years ago, I worked for three different summers at Lake Arrowhead Campground in Myrtle Beach, and I will never forget. One time I had to walk up to a campsite to talk to a man about a maintenance problem, and he was sitting there under the shade in one of the shady back away from the beach campsites reading his Bible. And I knew that he was a serious Bible student because he had one of those big study Bibles with four or five different colored little ribbons to mark different things all through Old and New Testament. And I politely introduced myself, I did, and told him I needed to talk to him, and he just exploded at me. Went straight from Bible reading to exploding with vitriol and anger because I was disturbing his study time. And I had thought before that I might introduce myself as a fellow student of the Scripture. But after that, I did wonder if we were on the same page at all. A little more poignant story. Some of you have read and remember Stephen Vincent Benet's poem, John Brown's Body. In that poem, Benet tells of a sea captain in the African slave trade who prayed regularly and piously, and he did also study his scripture apparently in earnest in front of his crew, in front of those on the ship, in great earnest. And yet, he never seemed to see anything wrong with buying or selling or whipping or chaining or killing some of his human brothers. There needs to be a connection between our understanding of the Word and our living out of the Word. God loves you, and that is a gift. God loves you, and that is the heart of worship. God loves other people too, and that is the call to Christian living outside these doors. The purpose of faithful Bible reading is to allow God's living Word to get through and to grab us by the soul and make a difference. God's message and God's Holy Spirit can and should change our behavior and our attitudes over a lifetime, not just for 1 or 2 hours a week. James, as a book of the Bible, is somewhat controversial because it just will not allow us to feel good about mere sitting and soaking. It talks about doing. And I know some of you think, preacher, I could be at the beach this last Sunday before Labor Day. I'm here. Isn't sitting and soaking and being here just enough? Well, that's why people get upset with the book of James. We proclaim faith and we worship God. We are religious. What more could we possibly do? Well, in worship, Other Christian traditions do more even in worship than we do. Pentecostalism engages body, mind, and soul and spirit all at once. We do clap and we do move a little bit at the 9 o'clock service. But as I told them this morning, we do keep an eye out for the person to the left and the person to the right. We want to make certain that we're not any more enthusiastic than they are. We don't want to stand out. And the Catholic in their Eastern Orthodox and Anglican traditions often use smells and bells and chants in worship. They do more in that way. And kneeling to pray and making the sign of the cross and dipping fingers in holy water and moving up and down. We do worship among Christendom in different ways. But James asks, what do we do afterwards? What do we do when we walk out the door? In the synagogue, in Jewish worship, the Torah is read through its entirety every year. And there is a particular day that marks the final reading for that year. It's called Simchat Torah. And the whole congregation rejoices on that day, celebrating the gift of the Word of God, the Torah. And the usually sedate synagogue on that day is filled with music and dancing. The ark that houses the congregation's Torah scrolls is opened up, and the scrolls are taken out and distributed through the congregation. And they, holding the scrolls high, the worshipers dance and they weave in and out, and they laugh and they cry and they rejoice and they embrace the gift that God has given them, celebrating that they are living life doing the Torah. I tried to envision it, but I can't see Main Street waving Bibles over our heads and dancing down the aisles. I don't think we'll do that. But we can take a hint from James. He says earlier on in that reading about people who look in the mirror and then immediately walk off and forget what they see. It says to me, remember what you look like, not just during worship, whether sedate or enthusiastic, but look like all the time. What you really look like to God and to others. Not just the others you're trying to impress. Not just the others for whom you put on your best face. James says, remember, be aware what you really look like to others. Now that one gets me. That one gets me because you've known me long enough to know that I don't even have a practiced smile face. I don't even have one. Much less a consistent, this is confession time, daily witness to every stranger I meet. I don't. To some, but not others. I have work to do in my consistency of faith and my consistency of seeing myself continuing Jesus' ministry in the world. We all have work to do. Be a doer of the word, says James. A doer, remembering that all good gifts, all true love and forgiveness and grace come down from God. And we love those gifts and we accept those gifts. But if you call yourself by God's name, then you are to echo those gifts out to others. If you call yourself a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, and never echo out those good and godly gifts, well then how does that work? How is that faith? James would ask. And that's why James is not a popular book with many. Let's go back to the mirror again. Let's go back to the drawing board again. Let's see what faith is to be in its entirety. How do you do faith? How could you even do faith and keep it all on the inside and secret and never show it, not even a peep? Are you religious? James asks. He says it'll show in this way. How? Verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Wow. Note that he doesn't say voting for others to do it for you, or hiring or paying others to do it for you. It says you do it, you do it, you do it. You visit, you care for, you keep yourself unstained from the world. You stay self-aware of how you appear to others, and you show them God in Christ as God's Spirit enables you to do. You show them who you worship, and you echo to them the good gifts that you have gotten from God. That's what the book of James is all about. It is a kind of how-to manual for Christian life.
It underscores the reason for our outward religious faith as originating with God. As we read in 1 John, we love because God first loved us. We are filled with good gifts, and we know that God loves us, and we know that God loves others, and so we love others. You don't have to be a seminary-trained preacher to understand what James says. You believe God loves you and forgives you and cares for you good. Now go out and do that to others. God loves them too. How hard is that? Well, honestly, just like the trick that I tried to do, it turns out to be pretty difficult. Unless you practice, practice, practice. And sometimes you need some help. And I'm going to stop my analogy before I equate Gene with the Holy Spirit. It'll get broken down there at some point. We all need God's help. I think Jesus taught a lot like James taught. In the same lines, Jesus did not say, I want your head nods. I want your intellectual agreement. Jesus said, follow me. And Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is the antidote to us outsmarting ourselves and turning the Christian faith into sitting and soaking and nodding in agreement. Jesus said, follow me. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Love one another as I have loved you. Do the faith. Live the faith. Bishop Will Willimon said, sometimes I've heard people say, as they leave the church on Sunday morning, they say, you know, I think of church as a filling station. I come here empty, and during the service I get filled so I can make it through the week. That's a little bit like sitting and soaking. Passive, not active. And it makes church into a place where we come and we sit back and we say, okay, preacher. Okay, Jim. Okay, Larry. Okay, Joyce. Do it. Fill me up. No. The test for good worship, the mark of a good church, is not what we are doing here in this alone during the worship hour. There is more. It's what we carry with us outside these doors the rest of the week. Yet here as elsewhere, after all is said and done, the old saying is true. More is said than done. The world is quite right in judging the truth of the gospel and of our faithfulness to it on the basis of the sort of lives the gospel is able to produce. Do we really look like the God whom we praise here on Sunday morning? Are we even moving in that direction? Have our songs and our prayers changed us, made us into that which we profess? That is the test, says James. And we already know that. We know that any sermon which is seen in deeds of love and justice and compassion is more effective than one which is merely spoken and heard. How many people have been turned off with the church and have gone away from the gospel because they have been hurt or scandalized by the actions or the lack of action on the part of those who profess to follow Jesus? And so the sermon ends. And you agree, I believe, with most of the words of the sermon, and many of you have nodded your agreement. Understanding is not the problem. The issue is now before us. And now for the final question. What will we do with all that has been said and sung and heard? God promised us the power and the guidance, the courage and the peace of the Holy Spirit to do things. What will we do? Someone has said, a parishioner said on the way out one Sunday, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. But with the book of James in mind, the preacher answered back, that remains to be seen. Amen. Please stand. ask the Nichols family to stand with me in the narthex as we exit, and I ask you to receive this blessing, this benediction. May you be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and with the presence and power, even in this moment, of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.